Well, we have been blazing through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, one word at a time. Last week we took three words, Thy Kingdom Come. We have gotten to the most familiar passage in the Sermon on the Mount, and that is the Lord's Prayer. It's something that virtually anybody in the United States has probably heard so many times. But it's a model prayer that Jesus outlined for us, the things that should be included in prayer. It is not to be rotely repeated as a prayer. Jesus said, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Not pray this, pray like this. Now, I ask the question, if your Father in heaven knows what you need before you even ask Him,
why pray?
Why pray? Why come to the Father in the first place? Is it to change the will of God? Or is it to change you as the prayer? And that's a question that we'll kind of ponder as we go through this. Also, the Bible is clear that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I can remember being on my knees in prayer one evening when I thought my son was asleep and he was a troubled teenager, which is kind of all teenagers are troubled. And he said, pray for me because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I was really surprised that he knew that verse. But anyway, we had prayed for him without ceasing for many years, which has borne fruit, by the way, much to our joy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The prayer starts out addressing the God, Father in heaven, and it says where he is. He's in heaven. Where are we? On earth. We're separated from God by our sins. We are reconciled to God through our faith in Jesus. He has brought us a reconciliation. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men, is what the angel said when Jesus was born. Our Father in heaven. And Jesus uses the familiar phrase of Papa, Father. Remember that our view of God the Father is indelibly shaped by our view of our own Father here on earth. Hallowed be thy name. And we looked at that. The names of God. And what a fabulous study the names of God is. But last week we looked at your kingdom come. Is it our hope for God's kingdom to come? Is that our hope, or is our hope rooted here on earth in our earthly life? And we looked at that in detail. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's one sentence, and we broke it up and looked at the first part of that sentence last week. Thy kingdom come. This week, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we've all figured out that God's will is for him to turn this country around. But is it? Is it part of his plan for us to fall? Is it part of his plan for us to be under judgment for turning our backs on him? It's easy for us to think that we know God's will. How can we know the mind of God? We know how all of this turns out. We know the end from the beginning. We don't know all the specific details, but we know that next up on the horizon, there's a cataclysmic confrontation between Israel and the rest of the world that results in a peace treaty that lasts 7 years, and at the end of that, the second coming of Jesus. We know that we're facing Jesus coming at a time that we don't know. We don't know the day nor the hour. And Jesus is going to come get us and take us up in the air to meet him. The dead will rise first, and we'll all meet in the air. Not in some building, not in some room. We're going to meet in the air, up in the heavens. And we're going to meet Jesus, and he's going to take us to him. That's a pretty exciting thing. And I've heard about that since I was a little kid. It could happen before the end of this sermon, and it could happen 100 years from now. But we do feel like we're in that time of history where these events are going to take place. These are exciting times to live in as we see God set the stage for what he's going to do and bring all of this to the next chapter. And we've looked at that in detail. Thy kingdom come. And through that, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But remember, we worship a sovereign God. A completely sovereign God who has the power over everything. He brought all of the universe into creation by his word. We worship an omniscient God, one that knows everything, one that knows the beginning from the end. He can look on through time like it's there in front of him. We can't do that. No other creature can do that. He's omnipresent. He can be in all places and know all things at all times. I heard this week a symposium, and there were a bunch of theologians there being asked questions. And the question was asked, will we ever see the full glory of God the Father? It was a great question. It was an interesting question. And we worship a God that's really incomprehensible and ununderstandable in his power. Moses was put into the cleft of the rock up on a mountain, and he saw the afterglow as God passed. When Moses would meet God in the tabernacle of meeting, he would have to wear a veil over his face because nobody could look upon the face of Moses because the glory of God radiated out of his face. We'll see Jesus in all of his glory, as Peter, James, and John did on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus humbled himself and took upon himself the body of a man and was still God, but chose or humbled himself to not take advantage of the privileges and the power of God while he was here on earth. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was changed or transfigured, and it blew his disciples away. It rendered them to the ground. They were completely amazed by what they saw. But we shall live with Christ in his glory and see him in his glory someday, soon. So, our prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is saying God's will is evident in heaven and he is ruler in heaven. But who is the ruler of this earth at this time?
Satan.
Satan has been given limited power over this earth at this time. And Jesus is coming to take that back. We've looked at Revelation and the seals and the scroll, the title deed to earth that Jesus takes. Who is worthy? Jesus is worthy. Part of our prayer is for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how are you going to bring that forward in your own life? What is God's will in your life? That's really the prayer, that God's will be done on earth. God's will be done in my family. God's will be done in my heart. God's will be done in my life. But how are we to know what God's will is? I heard a famous preacher one time, and he was addressing this subject about a young man who had come to him wondering what God's will was for their lives as a couple. And he said, it's real easy. Get right with God, spend some time with God, and then do what you want to do. Because he's going to give you new desires in your heart. When you pray, is it a one-way conversation? Are you just talking to a nameless being? Or are you talking to God? How are you going to hear an answer to your prayers? How are we going to understand God's will? And let me tell you why I believe most people have ineffective prayer lives. They pray and they seem to hear nothing, and others pray and they seem to come to an understanding. Because most people don't open this book and read it. The Word is the sword of the Spirit that lives in you. And we have this book printed on the internet, on your phone, on your tablet, on your browser, and it's free to be read to you. If you can't read, you can have it read to you over the internet. We have more access to the Bible at this time than ever in the history of the world, in all languages, in all different translations, but most people don't avail themselves of the opportunity to listen to God as revealed in His Word. God's not going to come down and shout at you from heaven. Voices are not going to be heard. If so, you may need to see somebody. God speaks to you through His Word, and His Word is revealed to you. His will is revealed to you through His Word. It's great that you listen to a sermon. It's great to come here and listen to me or one of the other guys that come in. It's great to go to another church. But God wants you to read His Word, because that's where He'll speak to you. That's how you'll know His will in your life. Let's look at a couple of examples. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as plain for the fullness of time to unite all things to Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were first into hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. God's going to bring all things subjected to Him. It was His will that you would be saved. That That's our blessing. It's interesting to note that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our salvation, but our possession of our salvation will be in the future. And we've looked at it that many times. We are filled with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. God's will was for you to be saved, to be reconciled to Him. That's spelled out very clearly. 1 Peter 3. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Don't lie. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. For in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Have a testimony that makes sense so that you can answer people what lies within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. That's interesting. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. God's will is found as a phrase all through this book. You just have to read it. It's there for the taking. It can change your life. It can speak to you in times of trouble. Oftentimes, people don't understand that God answers you by calling forth a scripture in your heart and in your mind that you've read and you've meditated about in a time where you need to hear God speak. But if you never read this book, then you're not going to be filled with those words of God, spoken by God through the Holy Spirit and written down for you. That's the power of this book, because the Holy Spirit is going to bring those words to you when you need them most. Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitators of God. What does that look like in your life? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must even be named among you as is proper amongst the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which is out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, don't become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness. It's interesting he doesn't say you were in darkness. He says you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. For it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Thank goodness he says with your heart, because our singing doesn't really do all that well. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We're to walk in the light. We're to do good. That's the will of God for you in your life. But, no. That's the will of God for you and your life. And as you become more mature, as you become more Christ-like, it will be easier for you to do good rather than evil. Are we going to be perfect in all of these things? No. We're going to stumble all the time. But as we stumble, we ask for forgiveness and we pick ourselves up and we go on attempting to do good rather than evil. We're to have a thankful, joyful heart. Why? Because we're heading towards an experience that will be immortal. It will be forever lasting in heaven with Christ. We will suffer along the way, and people will disagree, and we'll get in arguments with our sons and our daughters. We're going to have troubles here on earth, but we're heading towards an incomparable glory with Christ. And God's will for us is to do good rather than evil. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. In the 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There are a lot of circumstances that are difficult to be thankful for. We're talking about the real estate business this morning. It's hard to be thankful for 8 and 9% mortgages if you're in the business. But we're to be thankful in all things. And that's not easy. It's not easy to be thankful in ill health. It's not easy to be thankful when our sons and our daughters disagree with us. It's not easy to be thankful when we see friends and family members who have terrible illnesses. But this is to be expected because we live in an evil world. But soon that will come to an end. In this book, you have Proverbs. If anybody is young and wants to know how to live life, the wisest sayings of the wisest person to have ever lived are recorded. And there's one chapter for each day of the month. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. You want to know how to live life here on earth? Read these Proverbs each day and do them. On a personal note, when I came back to the church, I was going through a huge change in my life, and I was involved heavily with a non-church related organization and a leader in it. But my life was pretty much a mess, as my bride will attest to. And I was reading through, I was convinced that reading through this Bible would make a real change in my life. And I came across Psalms in reading through the Bible and got to Psalm 1, and it said, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Within a couple of days, I resigned from the leadership in that organization and decided that, other than work, my place was in the church and working in the church. And it made a huge change in the direction of my life. There are people who violently disagreed with that decision. But it was firmly planted in my heart that that was a decision that was right for me. God's word spoke with me, and it made a change in my life. And here, some 30-odd years later, it has proven to be a right decision. By the way, that organization no longer exists. If you want to know the will of God in your life, you've got to pick up this book and read it. And you say, I can't understand it. The Spirit that lives within you will make you understand it. That's the power of the Spirit, to be able to understand this book. It will speak to you. Without reading this book, it's difficult for God to speak with you. You meditate upon the words of this book and what it says. Just a few chapters. Just a few verses. And then meditate upon it. That's the joy of coming, for me to come here throughout a month, and that is to spend time in the Word and meditate on it, because it brings a change in me. I get more out of this than any of you do, because I get to meditate upon these messages while I'm driving, while I'm sitting, while I'm trying to go to sleep, whatever. I can meditate upon these words, and it forces me to focus on that. That's a great blessing for me. So if you want to know the will of God, if you want it to change your life, open this book and read it on a regular basis. If you have times of trouble, the best way out of times of trouble is on your knees and in the Word. And then your prayer life will be a two-way conversation with God. You pray to God and He answers you through the Word and in your life. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your Word. We're thankful for your Word revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that it will change our lives and speak to us in a way that will bring us peace and understanding in this crazy world that we live in. And we excitedly say, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.